T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning Roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I want to get into some things here outside of sports. One, I want to get into, well, I guess not outside of sports, but Shasky softball game, but something around this building. It feels like every single week in this building, something's breaking down. This morning, you're waiting on the elevator, waiting on the elevator, waiting on the elevator. And this, you know, love is like, oh, yeah, you have to go to floor 3, then you have to get on the cellar elevator, come back down to 2, then you get off at 2, and then you walk all the way back around the studio. It's just always something going on. It's a hell of a way to get a mortar started.
It is.
You're freaking out. You're like, oh, I can't get in the building. I can't get in the building.
I know.
It's like 6:03. I can't get in the building. I can't get in the building. I'm going to be late. But we're here.
You told me you got a great sleep last night.
I got an amazing sleep.
Did you see what was happening on social media last night?
I did not. I checked out at around 7 o'clock. I went to bed around 8:30. So I got a full like eight and a half hours. It was great.
There's a player for the Yankees, and his name is Aaron Judge. And
oh, yeah. Didn't he hit like 61 last night? I'm joking. He's great home run.
Yeah.
It's like Roger Maris.
It's just funny to me. You know, I guess I'm now part of the media, even though I don't consider myself part of the media. I definitely don't consider myself a journalist. That's for darn sure. Because I'm giving opinions. That's the job. The job is to give opinions, assess what's going on, sometimes look into the future, break it down, you know, talk. You know, that's what our job is. I'm not one of the journalists. But the real journalists are showing their you-know-whats today.
Showing their ass.
Always.
What happened last night?
You know, Bonte, the same core of media who printed so much money off the steroid era, they're coming around. All the old-timers, John Heyman, are coming out of the woodworks.
Be careful, he's not a
CNN. I don't care if he is.
He's not a CNN. I'm just saying.
Coming out the woodworks.
Don't want to go to the principal's office.
I'm just using him as an example. And they're like, oh, this is the real home run record. Look, it happened. All right, the steroid era happened. Like, can we just come to grips with it? It happened. All right. Yeah. Bonds was probably a little supersized. So were all the pitchers. The greatest pitcher and hitter of their generations. 7-time Cy Young Award, Roger Clemens. 6-time MVP, Barry Bonds. Yeah, they were on steroids. And so was everyone else. Marvin Bernard, Bobby Estalea.
Right.
A bunch of guys were.
Right.
Jason Grimsley, you know, doing the catwalk as he's trying to go back and not only steal a corked bat, but also give HGH to the entire Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, staff.
Right.
Everyone was doing it. All right. And we just decide that we're going to omit history. Oh, let's get Roger Maris's son out here and let's ask him what he thinks. A, I don't care what Roger Maris' son thinks. That's number one. And B, we had a zillion guys break the 61 record, and ain't nobody said a damn thing.
Nobody
you know
said
why?
A damn thing.
Because the Tom Verducci's of the world and the John Heymans of the world were being employed and getting they were selling clicks and books and articles and jumping from this company to that company, and they didn't say a gosh darn thing. So the one thing that I want to say today, and you're going to hear Roger Maris Jr. get brought up a lot, I don't give a rip what Roger Maris Jr. thinks. When Joe Montana's record was broken by Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, did we go pick up, get me Joe Montana Jr.? Right. Gotta find out what he's thinking about Tom Brady.
About Deflategate?
I mean, real, what are we doing? I gotta get it. Roger passed away. He passed away in 1985. All right?
Oh, man.
And he said, this is the same guy in 1998 who was crying when Big Mac hit that home run and rounded the bases and gave him a big hug. Like, the selective jurisprudence and outrage, the media is, this is why people hate the media, Bonte.
Wow, I'm looking at his quotes right now. Judge should be revered for being the actual single season home run champ. I mean, that's really who he is if he hit 62. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think baseball needs to look at the records, and I think baseball should do something. So, Roger Maris Jr. So now, baseball finds a way to piss off Barry Bonds once again and all his fans and all his faithful. You know,
I'm just sick of discrediting that era. It happened.
Aaron Judge, this is what he said.
Oh, no, Aaron Judge has been stand-up.
That's the record.
Exactly.
Barry Bonds is 73 home runs. I watched him do it. I stayed up late watching him do it. That's the record. No one can take that from him. So Aaron Judge is saying that he doesn't own the record. He says Barry Bonds owned the record.
Yeah, but what do you think the media is doing? They're snatching Roger Maris Jr.'s quote and they're running with it. And I'm just...
It's actually embarrassing.
I'm so fatigued by it.
But you know what?
God.
This whole process, and we've had John Heyman on the show. I don't care. If he doesn't think it's a record, he doesn't think it's a record.
Would you let him... On a lot of these baseball writers, teach your daughter how to throw a baseball?
Probably not.
Exactly.
Probably not.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have an opinion on baseball, right? So a chef came at me. This is something interesting. People are like, well, Joe, you didn't play in the NFL. What do you know about about football? I go, well, Belichick didn't play in the NFL, and neither did Bill Walsh. Right. But that doesn't mean they can't be a student of the game. So I'm not discrediting people who didn't play. But what I'm saying is that when you look at the body of work and the resume on some of these people who were literally the top paid journalists during that era, who turned a blind eye, and then years later in retrospect, after cashing every single check, and selling hundreds of thousands of newspapers. Oh,
they're
going to
capitalize on it, and then they're still going to rip them.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You're a fraud, and you wonder why a lot of people don't like the media. It's not all of them, but it's the fraudulent behavior of a few who we blanket as all of them.
Well, they've already made their... They basically have showed their ass throughout this whole process.
Well, you let in Ivan Rodriguez and David Ortiz
and all these guys get 100%. Baseball does it to itself. I mean, the moment, like 925 said, kind of stole the words right out of my mouth.
What's that?
Comcast Business Text Line. The moment David Ortiz made the Hall of Fame, any argument for Maris as the home run leader was completely invalidated by Major League Baseball. So you let David Ortiz in, who was on the Mitchell Report, yet you prop him up on all these platforms, Fox Sports, ESPN, Home Run Derby. He's now one of the many faces of baseball, and you let him into the Hall of Fame. Baseball contradicts himself all the time. So Roger Maris Jr. wants to say when he's, oh, yeah, that's the real record. Again, you're spot on when it comes to Mark McGwire rounding the bases.
He was hugging
and his entire family was there hugging him, saying, you deserve the record.
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, do I ever.
We want to talk about fraudulent moments in history. Right. I mean, that was one. And Big Mac, you know, over there crying as he's hugging him. I mean, come on.
You know what? I'm happy that I went to sleep. I'm happy. I saw the whole run. I thought it was awesome. He smoked it out there at the Rogers Center. It sucks that nobody caught the ball. The bullpen coach caught the ball. Many people missed out on thousands and thousands of dollars.
I agree with you there.
You know, that stunk.
Did you see the guy that whiffed on it? Do you know what his name was?
No.
Frankie Lasagna.
Yeah, Frankie Lasagna.
No,
he's
not.
Yes. He whiffed on it, right?
Frankie Lasagna?
He had
whiffed
a great,
on it.
What did he do? So he had a great chance of catching that bad boy.
He just whiffed.
Was he too baked?
He may have been.
That's a four.
May have been.
That's how you make lasagna.
Yeah, I know. That's great. That's great.
By the way, I had lasagna from Westlake Joe's last night. Let me just tell you. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, delicious. Westlake Joe's is great.
Delicious.
Westlake Joe's is great. Original Joe's is great. What did I have last night? I had soup. Chicken noodle soup. How about that?
Dinner talk.
All right. 650. Pisses me off that David Ortiz is in. So now we just pick and choose who gets in from the steroid era.
That's my problem.
But yeah.
That's my problem.
And to continue to dilute, like if Mark McGwire held the record, do you think there would be outrage like this?
No, I don't think there should be any. Look, I'm.
So is there some prejudice, some racism going on here?
I think I'm in the minority. Roger,
like, seriously, if Mark McGwire had the home run record, would people be going crazy like this?
No, I don't know. I know people just hate bombs.
That's why I can admit that.
But here's the other thing, B. I find it. Look, I don't even know if Sammy Sosa is a good guy or not. I know that in my eyes, he was one of the people that I know for kids in my neighborhood who played baseball. Sammy Sosa was like a god. Sammy Sosa was one of the greatest players of his generation. Now, I know he took steroids. He even used a cork bat, right? It's the same thing I said about Albert Bell. Like, you cannot tell me that these guys' careers didn't happen. They happened.
So
it happened.
You know what makes me outraged about baseball when we think about the Hall of Fame?
We pick and choose.
We pick and choose. Because you're telling me that Gary Sheffield's not a Hall of Famer?
I mean, come on.
In my lifetime.
Gotta play every position.
I started watching baseball in 1989. Sheffield was easily one of the 25 players.
Most feared right-handed
hitter.
Totally
speed,
agree. Totally agree.
Outfielder, good arm, World Series champion. Dude's got over 500 home runs. Go look at Gary Sheffield's card. And then you got Fred McGriff. I watched Fred McGriff change a pennant race. Fred McGriff, one of the most feared left-handed hitters. There's a picture of Fred McGriff, Barry Bonds, and Ken Griffey Jr. back in the day, and I'm just like, damn.
Crime Dog?
Are three of the best left-handed hitters in all the game. But Crime Dog's not in the Hall of Fame. Why? Why? I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame, they just continue to get it wrong. They're a complete joke. And I'm glad I went to sleep early because I didn't see any of this. I just kind of mute those guys where they talk about, Barry Bonds doesn't have the home run record. Okay, whatever.
Well, you know what the irony of all this is?
What's that?
A doctor allowed Mike Trout to be cleared for HGH, and he was Spadoni, am I wrong here? The HGH thing with Mike Trout. He got basically caught because they allowed him to use HGH to come back from an ankle injury a couple of years ago. And so to think that all these guys aren't doing performance enhancers. Kirk Gibson, one of the greatest moments in the history of baseball, was aided by him being able to actually go out there because of a shot. Like, and I'm not saying there's a big difference between doing the cream and the clear and doing that. But like, where do we draw the line here?
Yeah, that's just
what I keep going to. Are you just going to omit the entire era? Then why is Pudge
in? This is what I don't like. 415. This is what I don't like because it happened to Terrell Owens. 415, Comcast Business Text Line. Had Barry Bonds been more personable and easier to talk to media-wise, maybe that negative stigma around him gets overlooked and he gets into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Now, that's not right because CEO, I'm looking at Terrell Owens, didn't get first ballot NFL Hall of Fame because he wasn't a nice guy.
And it's one of the dumbest things ever.
It's one of the dumbest things ever, which is why T.O. said, screw you guys in Canton. I'm going to go to Chattanooga. Now, it was funny. He was in Canton this year for Bryant Young. He was sitting next to Steve Young.
I know.
Which is pretty funny. But, like, because they're not nice people, all of a sudden you take it personal. You're like, you know what? This guy ain't a nice guy. Screw this guy. We're not going to make him first ballot. You mean to tell me that T.O. wasn't a first ballot Hall of Fame? Hall of Famer. He's one of the five best wide receivers in pro football history.
Are we going to take O.J. Simpson out of the Hall of Fame?
Nope.
At the end of the day, was he a good dude?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
A terrible dude.
How about this guy by the name of Ty Cobb who killed someone?
Yeah, no.
In a bar fight.
And was racist.
Oh, well, Connie Mack. I mean, he's one of the worst of all times. Connie Mack. Like, I get so frustrated. I love the game of baseball, okay? I love the game of baseball. And I hate the way it's covered, and I hate the way it's talked about select few.
What do you think the solution is?
This is what I think the problem is that too many people for too long, the power was in the pen, the people that were writing about the game. And I think we need more people who are involved in the actual game to be more prominent in the coverage. I think that's where it starts. I'm not saying that you have to be the greatest player in the world to be able to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we need more Dallas Bradens. We need more people like that who celebrate the game. And
Hunter Pence, Javi Lopez.
Here's where I would start.
Kruger Kite.
I would mix it up, starting with the Hall of Fame. I think it starts there. And I know people, it's separate from everything else. John Miller needs to have a vote in the Hall of Fame. When Vin Scully was alive, Vin Scully, these are ambassadors of baseball.
Guys who watch the game every single day.
And you're telling me, this is what I always say, like, they're paid by the Giants. You're telling me John Miller And just take a step back, everyone. Yeah. John Miller can't tell you who's a Hall of Famer and who's not.
Right.
Of course, we all have our biases.
Right.
You think the writer in Pittsburgh isn't going to cape up for a guy that he covered who was nice for him for 15 years?
Exactly.
Of course they are. So to think that John Miller, or, and I'm just using examples, but Ken Korak doesn't have a feel on who's a Hall of Famer and who's not.
You could be a writer on the West Coast. There's no way in heck you're watching every single Tampa Bay Ray game. There's no way. There's no way you're watching every single Miami Marlin game or Nationals game or Orioles game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's too regional in that aspect where the writers are covering their beat every single day. That's tough enough. They don't watch another nine. Did he see other ball? They're watching highlights.
So that was my big problem. So like Mike Wilbon, for example, is a Chicago Cub fan. And I'm not knocking him. I'm using him as an example. We all think Mike Wilbon knows sports.
He does.
Who watched more Barry Bonds at-bats, me or Mike Wilbon?
Yeah, probably you.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
And you can't lie about it because the television packages wasn't what it was
today.
You know, so don't lie to us saying that I watched every single at-bat from, you know, Cooperstown, New York. No, you didn't. Like you're lying. Nobody... Satellite wasn't offered like that.
So, like, one of the things, like, I cape up. Like, I'll tell you the straight-up truth. I thought Todd Helton, while playing the Giants every year for his mates, I'm like, I'm watching a Hall of Famer. I think he's the greatest Rocky of all time. I think he deserves to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm a Giants fan. I can clearly see this dude's one of the all-time greats. Right? Now, let's say you're covering the AL Central. How many times did you really watch Todd Helton?
Yeah.
And you've got a better feel than John Miller.
Right.
You've got a better feel than play-by-play guy for the Padres.
Right.
You know, for example.
Right.
So this is what I would say is I think that we need to include more baseball ambassadors talking about the game, having influence on the game, and less of the writers. That's my biggest problem right now.
Yeah, no, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And some writers pick and choose whether or not they want to vote for the Hall of Fame. That's the other thing. Dude. Some of the writers will just leave a ballot blank. Just to prove a message, just to prove a point, which is stupid. It's like all you're proving is you're an idiot and you wasted a vote. Rob Parker, when he joined us, what was that, like 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Where he said, I think it's a privilege.
Agreed.
I'm one of only 450 people that has a Major League Baseball Hall of Fame vote. I worked my whole life for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a privilege to vote on the Hall of Fame. And some writers just say, you know what? I didn't get to it this year.
If you do that should be like an immediate, like you're kicked off the voting registry. Like if you're not going to use your vote, then like fine, then you don't get your vote. You're done.
Give it away. Give it away.
Look, was Bonds superhuman when he played? Of course he was. No one's denying. I'm not sitting here saying that he didn't do steroids. Of course he did steroids. But the reality is everybody did steroids.
Right.
There's a guy on air across the street who got popped for steroids, okay? There's a guy on air right now who got popped for steroids, and nobody cares because the entire era did. Andy Pettit is glorified and in the record books for how many different playoff victories, and he did it.
And the kicker is steroids doesn't make you a great player. Armando Rios took steroids and was getting sent back to the minors.
Bobby Estrella. Right?
Bobby Estrella could hit anything.
Yeah.
It was popping roids. Doesn't mean anything. You still got a C ball, hit ball.
Well, and here's the other part of this that no one wants to acknowledge. Had the home run chase not been so incredible, baseball would have been irrelevant even more so
dead.
20 years ago.
It would have been dead.
You are the same age as me.
Yep.
Do you remember when we came back from the strike? How many? My buddy Mikey
C. I checked out.
Hated baseball for years because of the strike.
Chasky, I didn't come back around to baseball until the 97 year.
That almost everyone did. So that goes back to my social point.
So the 95 Giants and the 96 Giants, I couldn't tell you anything other than they sucked.
Well, Deion Sanders, 95.
Yeah, but he got traded, though.
I know. But you're 100% right, and that's why when I hear people talk about Sammy Sosa, was he a complete baseball player? No.
Right.
But when we talk about impact on the game of baseball, all right, over the last 40 years.
Five tool players.
You know, look, man, there's a lot of guys that I love who I think should be in the Hall. I love Eddie Murray's a good guy. I'll just throw him out there. One of the greatest. How many people know who Eddie Murray is?
Switch-hitting
500 home run guy.
Not a lot.
Won a championship with the Orioles, was a Dodger, was a freaking
switch-hitter. Switch-hitter played on many, many, many teams.
If I say this, and he overlapped with this guy, if I say Sammy Sosa to so many people, they smile.
Right.
Right? They're like, wow, I remember what he did for baseball. I remember him running out with the little tiny American flag. And again, I'm not even trying. Eddie Murray was five times the player Sammy Sosa was. But you have to recognize the impact on the game overall.
Right.
All right? And that's the part that really bugs me is people, they want to take things out on them and they want to punish them. And it happened. All right, let it go. They should all be included into the Hall of Fame for their impact on the game. Do I think Mark McGwire is one of the all-time great first basemen? No. But what he did to save baseball, the product doesn't look like what it looks like today without Mark McGwire. Well, the money isn't what it is today without someone like Mark McGwire.
The guy who allowed it is in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, that's the biggest joke ever.
And that's Bud Seeley.
Yeah,
so,
I hate that guy.
You know, and I think there's a lot of people. Who's the commissioner? We have Faye Vincent. Basically has some kind words to say about Bud Seeley. Remember that? Remember that?
Ponte, the guy who served the longest suspension in baseball history for steroids,
Alex
Rodriguez.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's the face of baseball on not one, but two different channels.
Unreal. Unreal.
I mean, like, again, it just, these people, baseball, this is my big, they can't get out of their own way.
No, they can't. And they won't.
It drives me nuts.
And they won't. And that's why I'm glad I was sleep early and not on social media. Not on social media, by the way. Warriors.
And congratulations, Warriors. Aaron Judge.
Yeah, congratulations,
honestly,
Aaron Judge.
I like Aaron Judge. And I'm rooting for him.
I swear, I thought we were going to come.
He's got the American League record, and I wanted to be a Giant.
I thought we were going to come out and celebrate Aaron Judge. I was like, oh man, no,
but it was like an indictment on Bonds, and I'm not letting people bang on my dude.
Nah, Aaron Judge. Congrats to him. Talk about one of the greatest contract years of all time. Aaron Judge possibly is having the greatest contract year of all time. 61 homers. He's in line for the Triple Crown. I want to see him do it. A Triple Crown carrying that Yankee
team? I'm with you.
Pretty sweet there. So let's transition. We'll talk more Aaron Judge a little bit. Warriors are practicing in Japan. They practiced about 6 hours ago. Andre Iguodala with a nice little sound bites in, telling Dikembe Mutombo, hey, Jonathan Kuminga is really, really, really good. Well, we want to see that this year on the floor as well, but we'll get into the 49ers next, and that's coming up.
Hockey season is here, and 95.7 The Game has your shot at tickets to check out the San Jose Sharks in their home opener against Carolina on October 14th. Listen to Willard and Dibs around 10:30 for your chance to win.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
This is something that happened last night that I thought that's where you were going, Shasky, this morning. Coolio passed away at the age of 59. And that's what he won 6 Grammys for. Remember this? Gangsta's Paradise. I mean, I can't think of Coolio without the braids and little twigs coming out the head. But he was one of those guys. How would you describe him? Like, he wasn't the greatest rapper.
No.
But we knew who he was. And he was just like, he saw Coolio and just smiled.
This is what I would say about Coolio. He turned rap into a mainstream sellable item for not just MTV, but I think the masses. Mm-hmm. You don't get Snoop Dogg in 2022 selling you Coronas without Fantastic
Coolio.
Voyage.
Yeah.
And that which is the first CD single, rap single I ever bought. The first one was Soul For Real, Candy Rain.
Candy Rain.
Remember that song?
Oh,
and
then
the second one that I got them both on the same day, was Fantastic Voyage CD single with Coolio. Mm-hmm. And I remember me and my cousin Mike played it over and over. One of the great videos of all time, Fantastic Voyage.
Great video.
And most people are going to do Gangster's Paradise, and that's a classic.
But Fantastic Voyage is one of those songs that played at every single barbecue. And people just would move.
Exactly.
And they would just be moving to the beat. So
it's just sad, man, because he's somebody that, like, do I think he's one of the top 30 rap? No, but in terms of influence on society and, like, the generational steps forward of the evolution of rap and how it's now mainstream, like, they're now the rock stars.
And he became a celebrity, right? The
100%.
Cookie shows, reality TV, all that stuff,
rock
commercials. What about the Keenan? Somebody posted on Twitter last night the Keenan Nikale intro.
Coolio. My brother thing he said.
Dude, it brought me back so hard, and I was like, damn, Coolio. Because Keenan Nikale is our show.
I know.
I didn't have Nickelodeon growing up, and I would always hear about Keenan Nikale. So whenever I went to somebody's house and Keenan Nikale was on, I'm like, oh, I got to watch it. And then you see the intro with Coolio. I'm like, Coolio was raking in checks.
I know. I know. So, it's just really sad, man. When I heard that one, I was like, damn, that's weak.
Yeah, and then also made me feel a lot older.
Well, that's some.
I'm like, damn.
Of course.
Damn. Like, Coolio, 59, he's a little young, but, man, we want to pay our respects to him.
And that was the age of, just the explosion of music in terms of West Coast music making it onto MTV. And I think he was one of the seminal guys.
You had NWA.
Mm-hmm.
You had Snoop, everybody.
Ice Cube.
Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, when he broke apart from NWA. Yeah, Yo-Yo down there. You had everybody from the L.A. area. And then, of course, Coolio, who's from down there in the L.A. area, went to Compton Community College. So, yes, that Keenan Nikale theme is a banger. Is this it right here? This is a banger.
It's so good.
It's so good. Just think about how smooth that is. He needs to be driving down the highway, windows down,
yes,
wind blowing. Oh, that's smooth. Tell me that's West Coast rap in the 90s, too.
100%, dude.
You just bop your head to it. Oh, man, that was good.
Everybody out there, go run and tell your homeboys and homegirls it's time for King and Kale. To keep you laughing in the afternoon, so don't touch that dial on me the room.
Oh, that's hard.
I would turn this show on just to hear the theme song when I was, like, 7 years old.
Right.
Like, it was resonating with me.
It makes you feel cool.
You got to understand, like, early, like, late 80s, early 90s rap, it was either East Coast, you know, you would get certain East Coast rap that would be out there, but for the most part, and that was like more thoughtful and whatnot, for the most part, rap on the West Coast was very taboo.
Yeah.
Oh, well, gangster rap.
Well, you had DJ Quick coming along during that time, Sugar Free and stuff. And
yeah, but they were more underground.
They were more underground, but you know what helped them, what helped West Coast rap, and I think it helped all of rap, was BET, where they would have the long block all day long, and they show all type of, whether it was Busta Rhymes, whether it was Ice Cube, you would see everything from everybody out there, which I think helped rap grow.
No doubt. But I think about like this crossover, because like when you look into Hammer, early 90s Hammer, everybody liked Hammer.
Right.
But it was more pop rap, right? Even though, hey, I'll tell you right now, go back and listen to some of them Hammer songs. They bang.
Oh, he's got bangers.
He got bangers, and he was a dancer.
You know what I noticed? So did you see the Warriors post that picture with Sugar? I guess this guy, Sugar, or could be a girl, I'm not sure, but Sugar was holding the Warriors jersey up. She's one of those bands. K-pop.
Okay.
And
I did
has
see it.
Like 40 million followers.
I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what. But the one person they're following, they follow like 124 people. One of the 124 was MC Hammer.
Oh, I thought it was you.
No.
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer, out of all people.
Okay.
Out of all people. And I'm like, damn, MC Hammer still resonates.
Of course.
With a lot of people. You're right, he did have bakers, and then he had Death Row Hammer. We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, we don't need to talk about that. But my point being is that I look at someone like Coolio, and he's absolutely one of the evolutionary steps into mainstreaming rap music and making it, you know, just, I think, more acceptable by the masses.
Mm-hmm. Wow, he became a fireman, Coolio? That's according to San Jose Jazz Fan. Coolio became a fireman.
I didn't know that.
Credited the discipline with cleaning up his life.
I didn't know that.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
Wow.
Huh, let's go to Steve in Santa Rosa. Wants to talk Steve. A little Barry Bonds and Writers. He's listening on the radio. What's up, Steve? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's going on, man? Just real quickly, I can't believe you didn't mention my boy, Bushwick Bill. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Ghetto Boy.
Good call.
Ghetto Boys is hard. Yeah,
my mind's playing tricks on me.
And then they got the cover where you get shot in the eye and they're going to the hospital. Yeah,
that's a
great cover.
Good call.
My big beef here, you guys said it right, that more people outside the writers need to step into this argument about the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. We had the best hitter of all time right here, Barry Bonds. And if you played ball, you know, I don't know nothing about basketball, but I know that every sport, there's an inside mental part of the game. That's the difference between the really good and the greats. Look at, you got like Joe Montana, you know, didn't have all the physical tools, but he had that something where he could get out of trouble and find the big play. You know, every sport has, the great ones have that ability. Barry Bonds comes into a game, he gets one decent pitch a game for like the last 6 years he played and hits it out. But you got these idiot writers. And, you know, that movie, The Natural, I'm glad they put that little scene in where he talks to the guy in the alley and he goes, hey, did you ever play the game? No, I didn't. And there you go.
Well,
they don't know. They're writing about what they're seeing on the field. And this argument that I have a friend that's a sports writer, I've gone round and round with him. He goes, but it's not natural. I go, okay, then no more weightlifting. No more off-season training.
Exactly.
Because
there you
that's
go.
Not natural.
Yeah.
They are enhancing their natural ability.
That's a good point.
What your argument is, then you can't train in the off-season. You can't lift weights. You can't take supplements, even the legal ones. So, you know, it's 2022. Let's get real.
I know.
No, I'm with you, Steve. Great call.
Great call, Steve.
Great call. Well, and I feel your pain, Shasky, on this, man. And look, Barry Bonds is all our guys. Once they didn't vote him into the Hall of Fame the last round, and now he has to go through the Veterans Committee, I just gave up on it. I said, you know what? Barry Bonds doesn't feel hurt by it, but he shows that he doesn't feel hurt by it. I think deep down inside, Barry's like, screw this game. I gave my soul, my sweat, my entire life to this game of baseball, and I watched David Ortiz get in. David Ortiz. Yeah. And I watched all these other guys get big-time votes like Pudge Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in the Hall of Fame. Fuck Gary Sheffield, who's done television.
Come on, man.
And Sheffield's like, I was a 4-5 hitter for the Yankees, for the Braves,
for the Dodgers, for the Marlins,
for the Padres.
The
I stole bases, and I'm not even getting 20% of the vote anymore.
He played all eight positions.
I mean, it's a joke.
I mean, look, I'm 100%
until baseball celebrates its best guys, why should I care, Shasky?
This wasn't in the in like our thought for today, but
yeah.
He brings up an interesting point. Mark Spears told us when we were talking, like, how'd you get into basketball? And he had said that he was covering baseball, and he was in a baseball media room or whatever, and what is it called? The press box.
Yep.
And he's sitting there, and he's sitting with a bunch of baseball writers, and out of nowhere, he had this epiphany, and he's like, I played basketball.
Yeah.
Why am I not covering basketball? Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is an interesting question. I do not think you need to play a sport at a high level to have a fundamental understanding of said sport.
We didn't.
But I do believe you have to have some fundamental knowledge.
Right.
Some fundamental knowledge that's rooted in something about said sport. For example, Anthony Slater. Anthony Slater did not play college basketball, okay?
Nope.
But when I read his columns, I'm looking at somebody go, he clearly has.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A very fundamental grasp of not just the X's and O's of basketball, but the feel of the league and the feel of the players in the game. Exactly.
And he still tries to continue to educate himself by asking the questions to help further his knowledge. So, like, players read his stuff and be like, oh, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and Joe Posnanski is a baseball writer who I believe is a student of the game.
Yep.
Tim Kirkshin, who's also actually a pretty good player.
Just look at our backyard, John Shea.
The student of the game. By the way, he can also play. I played with him. He can play.
The Shea Hay kid.
Yeah,
I mean,
he clearly is a student of the game and knows the game inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I always have with these Hall of Fame votes, how many, there's too many that aren't like John Shea, that are students of the game who live, eat, and breathe it, who truly understand the fundamentals of the game and can be able to impart that wisdom on the people that they're writing for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big disconnect. And I don't know what the solution is, but I think in baseball, it feels like to me, because it's such a nuanced game, it's probably the hardest to cover.
Right. And not only is it the hardest to cover, it's the hardest to crack.
Yeah.
It's the hardest to crack.
That's a good point.
A lot of writers can't crack it. And then, you know, when you think about these people that you're talking about, the Verducci's, the Haymans. They're not always very welcoming to a new person on the beat. Howard Bryant talks about it all the time, where Pedro Gomez, rest in peace, when Howard Bryant was covering the Oakland A's, and Tony La Russa would read the paper and be like, who the hell is this writer? I want to rip his head off. And Pedro would be there to check him, to make sure the youngsters like a Howard Bryant, who's obviously a black guy, hey, you belong here. What? We're going to have your back. We're going to make you feel comfortable. A lot of baseball writers don't make you feel comfortable in that press box.
Well, being there's another element of this which we cannot ignore. You look at football and basketball. Look at who's covering the games.
Right.
And look at the representation of the players.
Right.
They're primarily black leagues, right? And then you've got a good amount. I don't think it's enough. But
you have a lot of diversity, though.
And then I look at baseball, and I look at who's playing the game and how many South American players are playing, Latin American players are playing in the game. Is that who's writing and covering the game?
Right.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, it's
so
it's
I find tilted. It interesting.
Yeah, no,
I think it's a little out of whack.
Yeah, it is out of whack. Big time. All right, we got to go to break here. Lubman's getting on me. We're going to get into more. Well, you know what? We'll transition to the to the 49ers here. Big game. It's Beat LA week. And we haven't really touched on the Rams. We got to revisit some things, Shasky, when it comes to the Rams and the 49ers.
I'm ready.
That's coming up. Sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
To the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
That's how we're coming back, Spadoni, huh? That's what we're doing. NFC Championship game. We know how it ended. We know how it ended. Down in L.A., SoFi Stadium, Garoppolo throwing a pick, and the Rams escape and win 20-17. They were down 17-7 in that one. And yes, they come back and win the Super Bowl. So now the Niners are hosting the NFL Super Bowl champions on Monday Night Football, a rivalry renewed. And this is something you've been on, Shasky. We argued back and forth. Seattle's still the rival. No, it's the Rams. No, it's Seattle. Well, I think when you play in the NFC Championship game, or if you play in the playoff game, it takes that rivalry to another level.
Yeah, it's forged in fire of playoff times.
No doubt. Well said. Niners won six in a row. They go to that NFC Championship game. They're up 17-7 going into the fourth quarter.
Why are you doing this to me?
Rams outscore them 13-0. Again, they win the Super Bowl. Now they're coming to Levi's Stadium. And you don't think the Rams are motivated for this one to say, we can really put the Niners behind an eight ball at 1-3.
What are the two hardest Super Bowls for you to watch the last couple of years? Or the last 20 years, let's say. I have a ranking.
Last 20 years? So the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl was hard back 2011.
Yeah, really hard.
Really hard. Broncos-Seahawks was really hard to watch.
Yeah, especially after that first drive. Right. Thank you, Peyton, for snapping the ball over your head.
Right,
I've never
center.
Been a bigger Bronco fan in my life.
Yeah, MetLife Stadium. I mean, they didn't have a shot. The image of Adam Gase and Peyton Manning on the bench, like, what do we do? What do we do? Other than get blown out 43-8. That was hard. And then you had last year.
You're like me.
Giants Bills.
I was so
that was
depressed.
Hard.
I was so depressed last.
Oh, the Cowboys Super Bowls, very hard.
Yeah, but not like that one.
Not like that one.
And the other one that I'd throw into the mix would be the Aaron Rodgers one, because I was so mad because we all knew that he should have been the pick instead of Alex Smith.
Oh, when they beat Pittsburgh.
Yes, and I was mad watching that one.
Oh,
just
gosh.
So mad.
Gosh.
The offensive coordinator who was on that horrible Nolan staff got to leave the team after 1 year after he helped pick Alex Smith and then ended up coaching the guy that we all wanted.
I know. Mike Super McCarthy. Bowl. Unbelievable. By the way, Jason Aponte, he's going to join us at 8 o'clock. We love Jason Aponte. Sprint right option. Sprint right pod. Jason Aponte, 8 o'clock. He's going to join us via Zoom.
Oh, cool.
Join us via Zoom. So we'll do that. We have King of the Hill coming up in 10 minutes. King of the Hill. Where's my rankings? Last week I had Tampa number one, Philly number two, and I had the Niners at three.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you one thing, the Niners won't be at three this week.
Yeah, and I look back at the late 80s and the 49ers going up against the Rams. For me, for my age group, like that was it. Like that was the divisional rival. That was the team that you would go up against. You obviously played them in an NFC championship game years back. But even if you go back even farther, you know, a lot of the older people, I've said this since I'm blue in the face. The Niners would not be in the NFL, because they were in the AFL at the time, had they not been the geographical rival for the Rams. So I feel like these two organizations have been linked. And when they moved to St. Louis, it took a lot of sting out of the rivalry.
No doubt. It did.
But there was something about Ram Week. And when you'd hear Ronnie Lott get everybody fired up for Ram Week, there's something about it. Now with McVay, and you've got Stafford, who the Niners were linked to.
It's back.
Cooper Kupp.
It's back.
Aaron Donald and Deebo Samuel not liking each other.
Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
Deebo tries to truck. He tries to run through Jalen Ramsey. There's something going on there, too.
There's a lot of narratives that you can pluck from, and I find it interesting. Also,
did you bring up Bobby Wagner?
No. Bobby Wagner. Look, people can dismiss Bobby Wagner. I want to look at just his career numbers versus the Niners. I swear he averages a turnover a game. More than that.
He dominates the Niners.
And he owns Jimmy G. Yeah. How many times has he dropped back in coverage and just picked the ball off from him? Just standing in the middle of the field. The other thing that I was going to throw out there, B, is the contrast in styles between the two organizations. Yep. They're hyper-aggressive. We don't care about the draft.
Right.
We are going to get proven commodities. The Niners are a little more, not conservative, but we're going to build this thing through the draft, and we're going to try to, you know, philosophically build our team in a different way.
So that's something I want to go to, and I want to go in that direction, the aggressiveness. And we're going to do that, as I say, good morning, everybody, getting off the graveyard shifts. I realize I didn't do that today. If you're at work, what is happening? Good morning to you on the roadways. The aggressiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We look at this Niner schedule, and I'm looking at it like this. Beat the Rams, you're 2-2. It's not going to be easy at all. It's not going to be an easy game. Just get the 2-2. You can go on a roll for Carolina, Atlanta. Just get me a split. Get me a split and be 3-3 by the time you play the Kansas City Chiefs. When you go into the bye week, I would love to see the Niners at 4-4. Now, the bye week happens a couple days before the NFL trading deadline. And Lubman looked this up yesterday. Last year at the deadline, or around the deadline, there were 10 different trades. The NFL was very, very active. Guys are getting cut. Guys are getting traded. Remember, Von Miller gets traded to the Rams. Odell Beckham Jr.'s getting cut.
People laughed at the Von Miller acquisition. If you go back to that fourth quarter, you can't tell me that he didn't have an impact on that game.
Dominated the football game.
Yeah.
Dominated the football game. Then had a good Super Bowl. There was a lot of movement. And the NFL, the NFL has been moving towards being more active towards the deadline and being more active in season. We're seeing all kind of trades, right? Let's just see where the 49ers are during the bye week, and let's see who's going to be available, because I think with this defense, you cannot waste it, Shasky. You cannot waste this defense. Now, are they great yet? No, they're not causing the turnovers. They're not forcing the turnovers. They're not falling on the football when there's a fumble out there like they did on Sunday night. That's what makes the defense great, right? Creating turnovers, scoring. But what can you do to help this offense? What players are going to be available at the deadline? Because when I look at the Niners, they're going to have their second-round pick next year. 2024, they're going to have their full complement of picks. 2025, they're going to have their full complement of picks. At some point, you just got to say, damn it, we got to go get a guy. They can't draft the guy. Well, they can't draft the running back, so go get one.
Well, if you're a win-now team, why wouldn't you want to acquire something to help you win now?
Right.
Which is kind of like what everyone says. Remember in 2019, they were really depleted at wide receiver.
They make the trade for Emmanuel Sanders.
Exactly. And I think we all agree that was a really good trade.
Very good trade.
And you know, like, even though it cost you whatever, a third or a fourth round pick, I think at the time, nobody even cares. Nobody even cares, because it was one of those moves that helped get you over the top. Now, he had the rib injury. Right. God, it would have been nice if he would have been healthy the entire time. But even then, everybody goes back to Jimmy missed Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah, they traded for him midseason.
Yep.
Remember, he didn't have a bye that year.
He didn't have a bye. He had a rib injury. Yeah, he had to play every single week, and he made an impact right away.
I would love to see them make some sort of a move on offense. No one's giving up linemen in the NFL right now.
No.
That's just not a trade that usually happens. It's usually skill position guys.
This line's just going to have to get better.
Yes.
Aaron Banks, Burford, Brindle, McGlinchey, whoever the hell plays left tackle, they're just going to have to get better.
But can we agree? Playmaker is a number one thing. So whether that's running back, wide receiver, whatever's available, I think you have to scour the market for it.
So
dare I say, maybe backup quarterback, just as an insurance policy for Jimmy? Am I out of line saying that?
You don't think Brock Purdy's an insurance policy?
I'm not trying to be like crazy here, but like we're gonna. So Trey's not ready, but all of a sudden Brock Purdy is?
Yeah, I know it. How laughable is it?
I mean, how laughable is this? The system is so complicated, and it takes a full year for you to understand it. But this guy in like 5 weeks is going to be able to figure it out.
Here's my deal: like, if there's
a tough time believing that.
Save Kareem. I don't think Kareem Hunt's going to be on the block. I think Cleveland's keeping Kareem Hunt. Steve has said in New England, you got Pollard. You got all these running backs. Tony Pollard, I don't think, is getting traded from the Dallas Cowboys. He's a big part of what they do, being in the slot or whatnot. But if there is somebody available, I don't know if it's Saquon. I don't know who's going to be available at the deadline. I do. Here's my philosophy on this, Shasky. If you can't draft a running back in the third round, if you keep failing to draft the right running back in the third round, then maybe go trade for an established one. You know,
Belichick did that a lot at wide receiver. He wasn't good at drafting wide receivers. Remember Dexter Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
But what he would do was, once you're in the league, he'd find film on you. And he'd go, oh, I know that you can do X, Y, and Z. Let me get Wes Welker.
Right.
Let me get Julian Edelman.
Let me get Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, right? Yeah. So he had a really tough time drafting his own wide receivers.
Randy, why are you shaking your head, Spadoni? Randy Moss.
One of the great fleecings of all time.
Fourth round pick. We traded Randy Moss.
Oh, you know what was worse?
Fourth round pick.
Giving up a first rounder for Richard Seymour.
Oh, boy, that was rough.
Or Devontae Adams, am I right? Oh, too soon?
I'll take Devontae right now. Right now.
But, Can I interest you in a Jimmy G?
But you hear me, though? Like, if you can't draft a running back in the third round,
I'm with you.
Go trade for one that's established, and, you know, the hard part is done. You don't have to develop somebody. They're already developed.
Well, for as bad as the San Francisco Giants were at developing outfield, there's the one thing they were good at was trading for him or signing him.
Right, Reggie Sanders, Alex Burks,
trading for Hunter Pence.
Right, no doubt, no doubt. Now, with that said, I do think this offseason we overrated the skill positions of the 49ers.
Who?
I think we all just overrated the entire offense, like in terms of like how many playmakers they had. We knew they had Deebo Samuel, who's a playmaker. But now when you see him playing running back a lot and he's on the line of scrimmage, and then George Kittle, he's a shell. Like, George Kittle doesn't look healthy. He didn't look healthy Sunday. Granted, it's his first game. He played 51 of 56 snaps. That's a good thing. But, like, when I see Kittle, Deebo, and just Ayuk, and if you have Deebo in the backfield and Ayuk's getting double-teamed, I'm like, damn. Like, Juwan Jennings is running routes, and Danny Gray's running routes, knowing damn well Jimmy Garoppolo can't get him the football. They need more playmakers. Like, that's why when you were saying earlier in the season, Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm screaming.
I'm like, you know what? They need more playmakers.
Well, they need a backup tight end. Who can
Exactly. I mean, they need backup tight end. They need another wide receiver. They need a running back.
Here's the problem, though, with the offense. And this goes back to, we were talking about the running game, right? If the running game is going to be so pivotal to everything that you do, you're going to limit the amount of possessions. That's also going to limit the amount of dropbacks you have, right? And so the opportunities to throw to those wide receivers. The one thing that I'll give the Rams, they've got Van Jefferson and Cooper Kupp and all these weapons, and they throw to all of them.
Allen Robinson.
I mean, they're throwing 35 times a game, right? Like, the Niners don't want to throw 35 times a game. So that's why, like, as much as I want Odell and a wide receiver or a backup tight end, I think their money would actually be best spent on a running back, considering that they want to get to that magical 35 runs a game number.
But doesn't it feel like late game situations when it's time to throw a football game?
You can never have enough receivers.
This team just doesn't seem to be able to throw a four
pass. Destroyed you in that NFC championship.
Destroyed them.
And was killing it in the Super Bowl before he got hurt.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Cooper Kupp killed you.
The
tight ends killed you.
You want to look at my matchups? We got a little way too early matchup. Bringing in Ward, does he just follow Cooper Kupp around?
You know, I like Mosley on him too, though.
Okay.
Mosley has set the tone against him. You probably watch our various Ward, but they move around Cooper Kupp so well.
Whether it's asking.
A jet sweep motion.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.